right. Well, social media has been in an uproar over Melania Trump's speech last night, and this election cycle has proven just how powerful social media has become. But it isn't a uniquely American phenomenon. Last week, the intersection of politics and social media changed the course of the attempted coup in Turkey. That's an Apple FaceTime call Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan made to broadcaster CNN Turk on Friday night. And then Erdogan later took to Twitter, encouraging people to resist the coup. Joining us now with more is Robert Mackey, senior writer with the news site The Intercept. He focuses on international news and social media. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, let's talk about President Erdogan's use of mobile technology in trying to tamp down the attempted coup on Friday. We just heard that little excerpt from the FaceTime call he made to CNN Turk. People have seen the images of someone holding up an iPhone to a camera, and that's how that FaceTime call was made. I don't recall anything like this ever having happened before. Do you?
No, absolutely. It seems innovative. I mean, the idea of a president trying to appear during a coup and address his people is familiar, but people have been blocked in the past from doing that. In this case, the military followed what you might call a 20th century or a late 20th century script by seizing the state broadcaster, but they failed to account for both social media and private channels like CNN Turk.
So on the one hand, we have sort of the failure of the coup plotters to realize how pervasive mobile technology and social media are. But on the other hand, we have President Erdogan being a very savvy user of it, because just after he made that FaceTime call, he took to Twitter. And his Twitter account has, what, more than 8 million, almost 9 million followers. And he sends out this rapid fire series of tweets, including, "I invite our nation to occupy squares, airports to protect our democracy and the national will. We are with the people and democracy until our last breath." How important was it that he was able to reach people through Twitter?
It seems vital. It's also not just Twitter, but people use WhatsApp to organize these spontaneous protests. And it's obviously the case that in previous similar situations, I'm thinking of the coup in Egypt in 2013, there have been calls to go out and demonstrate, but they were not able to reach as wide an audience. Turkey, partly because of Erdogan's own government's attempts to stem the flow of information, Turks are extremely familiar with and savvy about finding information online at times of crisis.
So let's talk a little bit more about that, because I think that's one of the things that people are really thinking about in the wake of President Erdogan's use of social media. Because back in 2013 that he himself in part blamed Twitter for popular resistance to his government when there were those massive protests against the destruction of Gezi Park in Istanbul. And he's actually also tried to shut down Twitter accounts, slow down internet access, lots of ways in which he's tried to stifle social media use.
That's right. He actually called Twitter in 2013 a menace to society and has campaigned against it. They've locked up people for criticizing him on Twitter. At the same time, his government and he himself are very savvy about using it, and the popularity of it among his followers is quite remarkable.
Well, the Wall Street Journal says that Turkish courts and government entities lodged almost 3,000 requests to remove tweets or accounts in 2015, accounting for more than half of all requests that Twitter received from governments in the past year. So it's sort of this yin and yang I'm seeing in terms of Turkey's use of social media, both amongst the people and its own government. But what does this mean? What does it tell us about how we might see the use of social media play out in future moments of political unrest?
Well, I think what you see here in Turkey, which had three successful coups in recent years in the past century, is a moment where the idea of completely controlling information through state broadcasters has kind of dissipated. And in addition to these official calls from President Erdogan and his supporters and other members of his government, what seems important to understand is that the opposition in Turkey are so attached to democracy that they preferred him to a coup. So it's not right to say that the only people who responded to this and the only people who objected to the coup online were government officials. You had this whole active community of people. They also were on social media. They also were sharing quite atrocious clips of brutality and violence by the coup plotters against civilian protesters. And those were very important, bringing people out into the streets and, I suppose, encouraging them not to settle for what was being offered.
It makes you wonder if the next time a coup is attempted, the coup plotters might seek to shut down servers before they go to seek to shut down television stations.
Absolutely. And it's also important, Zeynep Tufakci, who's a sociologist, a Turkish sociologist who studies social networks, was in Anatolia in Turkey at the time. She pointed out that as soon as the coup happened, the basically government-aligned official cell phone provider topped up everyone's data use. So people were able all over the country to get around state broadcasters.
Robert Mackey is a senior writer with The Intercept. Robert, thank you so very much.
Thank you.